horizon. These are the words of the rising sun, surprising some who thought I was just another humdrum. I'll take a page, write a phrase, and rephrase it, treat it like a national flag and upraise it, so a nation of people can feel proud about a brother who speaks out real loud.
Been a thrill, as always. Have a perfect day. Everyone here at the Jack Lucas Show says bye. This is Jack Lucas. So long, arrivederci. I'll be sending you a thought today as I lie in the back of my stretch limo having sex with a teenager of my choice. And that thought will be, thank God I'm me.
Hear the story of the Fisher King?
No.
It begins with the king as a boy, having to spend the night alone in the forest to prove his courage so he can become king. And while he's spending the night alone, he's visited by a sacred vision. Out of the fire appears the Holy Grail, symbol of God's divine grace. And a voice said to the boy, "You shall be keeper of the Grail so that it may heal the hearts of men." But the boy was blinded by greater visions of a life filled with power and glory and beauty. And in this state of radical amazement, he felt for a brief moment not like a boy, but invincible, like God. So he reached in the fire to take the Grail, and the Grail vanished, leaving him with his hand in the fire to be terribly wounded. Now, as this boy grew older, his wound grew deeper, until one day, life for him lost its reason. He had no faith in any man, not even himself. He couldn't love or feel loved. He was sick with experience. He began to die. One day, a fool wandered into the castle and found the king alone. Now, being a fool, he was simple-minded. He didn't see a king. He only saw a man alone and in pain. So he asked the king, "What ails you, friend?" The king replied, "I'm thirsty. I need some water to cool my throat." So the fool took a cup from beside his bed, filled it with water, and handed it to the king. As the king began to drink, he realized his wound was healed. He looked in his hands, and there was the Holy Grail, that which he sought all of his life. He turned to the fool and said with amazement, "How could you find that which my brightest and bravest could not?" The fool replied, "I don't know. I only knew that you were thirsty." It's very beautiful, isn't it?
I need to warm up. I'm in Marl Lindbergh. I can't find my baby. I knew I could make you smile.
All right, come on. Look, one chorus, and then you're out of there.
Jack, I'm a man with a mission.
Can't believe I'm on a first-name basis with these people.
Can I help you?
Is there a mousy little woman named Lydia who works here?
Yes. If you wait here, I'll get her on
the
phone.
Oh, no, it's a personalized message. I have to give it to her in
person. You can't go back there. You're really not allowed to go.
Is this Lydia Sinclair?
You must be she.
I had a dream for guess who, Lydia. It wasn't for her, Lydia. It's only for you, yes, Lydia. Some people can get their kicks watching couple and late night flicks. That's okay for some people who don't own VCRs. But Lydia, you've won the grand prize. Just think of it. All the movies you'll watch for free now. Dramas, westerns, comedies, wow! Video Spot has the best selection. If you like porno, we're your connection. And everything's coming up videos. Everything's coming up videos. But this time for free. For you, Lydia. For free.
Nothing! Gentlemen!
I like New York in June.
How about you?
I like a Gershwin tune. How about you?
Oh, look, it's showtime! You know, boys, there's three things in this world that you need. Respect for all kinds of life, a nice bowel movement on a regular basis, and the navy blazer. Oh, one more thing. Never take your eye off the ball.
Ouch. The ability to be a shithead can be a fabulous advantage.
And talk about The Fisher King a little bit. 1991, I saw this movie on my birthday. I was 20 years old, and I I loved it at the time. I still love it now. I hadn't seen it in a long time until this week. But it's still fantastic. Jeff Bridges is just great in this. And Robin Williams, everybody's great in this. Mercedes Rule, of course, won a Best Supporting Actress. And also Amanda Plummer, who you know from Pulp Fiction, was in this as well as a great supporting actress, Kathy Najimy, I believe her name is. And Michael Jeter, you just heard in that clip. Says a lot about mental illness. It says a lot about the homeless. It says a lot about love. It says about caring for one another. It says a lot about PTSD and loss and pain. It's got a good blend of comedy in it as well as drama. And there's kind of like, it's almost like a, to me, it's almost like a Barry Manilow song. It like rises up and there's a crescendo and then it goes down and then it rises in the end again. There's these moments of joy in the movie, and there's just these awful, awful, horrible things that the characters deal with on a daily basis. So Jack Lucas, of course, is Jeff Bridges, mentioned that. He's narcissistic. He's a misanthrope. He becomes suicidal, and he becomes despondent. And after he makes his insensitive remarks on the radio and causes an unstable cause or a caller to cause mass murder suicide in a Manhattan restaurant. And then 3 years later, Jack is working for his girlfriend Anne in the video store, and he's mostly drunk and he's mostly depressed. So he's out on a bender and he is ready to kill himself. And right before he's going to kill himself, a couple of people show up and they're going to set him on fire. It's kind of a weak moment of the movie, to me at least. It could have been done maybe a little bit better, but it just seems there's a couple of punks in the movie that just want to run around and beat up bums. You know they're out there, but it comes a little quick and out of nowhere here a couple of times in the movie. But overall, it's still a 10 for 10 for me, still one of my favorite movies. Released by TriStar Pictures, distributed by TriStar Pictures. Cinematography by Roger Pratt, and it's a beautiful looking movie. Music by George Fenton, and there's also some other great, great music in there as well, including The Power, which was played a lot as Chill Rob G, The Power from Ride the Ribbon, Ride the Rhythm from 1991. And Harry Nilsson with How About You. It's a very New York movie, too. I just got back from New York. I went out there for a few days. I had a blast. And New York is one of those places where I like to visit. I don't know if I'd like to live there. Maybe when I was younger, as a kid, it just seems like New York makes you pretty hard, pretty quick. And you run into a lot of broken people. And the homeless situation back then, 1991, is a little bit different than it is now. You got to see a lot more people out on the streets. You don't see that as much. You have to go to other cities such as, you know, San Francisco, Chicago. But they're still out there. But New York's been cleaned up a little bit. But Terry Gilliam's fantastic in it. The sense of fantasy that he brings into his movies and the art direction just makes The Red Knight, which is basically a symbol of Robin Williams' wife dying. The explosion of the shotgun on his wife becomes the Red Knight in his mind. And Jeff Bridges is there to save him from the Red Knight and helps him find his true love. Every knight needs a true love, and that's what Jeff Bridges helps him do, as well as his good girlfriend Anne, who sticks by him the entire movie. It's a great, great flick, and it's got great music, and it's got a lot of funny stuff. If you like Robin Williams, you're gonna love The Fisher King. So I'm gonna kind of spend a lot more time on that. I want to do my other two flicks here, but go check out The Fisher King. It was one of my favorites. All five of these today are my favorites. It won nominated for Best Actor, Robin Williams, that year. Best Supporting Actress, Mercedes Rule, won. Best Original Screenplay, Art Direction, and Score, it was nominated, but it only won the Best Supporting Actress. But still, one of my favorites. Peter Travers of Rolling Stone wrote that the film sweeps you up on waves of humor, heartbreak, and ravishing romance. It's pretty incredible the way that it does it, too, because at moments, you know, you want to cry, and then there's moments you're laughing, and then there's moments where you're just like, wow, I wish I was on that date with those four people in that Chinese restaurant. So anyway, Fisher King, 1991. It's Watch This with Chris Earle here on WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to your freeform station. On to 2002, it is City of God here on Watch This.
A story the world needs to know. The New York Times proclaims irresistible, an exuberant chronicle of crime. A true masterpiece. City of God.
Essa metamorfose ambulante do que ter aquela velha opinião
Get on up. on the scene like a sex machine. The way I like it is the way it is. I've got my dig it, he's got his. Stay on the scene like a loving machine. Stay on the scene like a loving machine. Stay on the scene. I wanna count it off one more time, yeah.
Go ahead, though.
You wanna hit it like you did on the top, fellas? Hit it like you did on the top. Hit it now. Get on up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Get on up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a loving machine.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Taste.
Get on up.
A piano.
Get on up.
Apanhar. Não vem dizer que a situação é uma questão de trabalhar. DDD, presta atenção. Homem não de brincadeira, não. Filho chora, mas não vê. Atividade no serviço, olha o processo, olha o processo. Se liga, segura que é badete. Tudo vai estar só calisco, peixe grande. É isso aí, rapaziada. De Oxalá proteja o caminho de todo mundo. Vai com Deus.
All right, 2002's City of God in Portuguese, Cidade de Deus. It's a Brazilian crime film directed by Fernando Meirelles and co-directed by Katia Lund, released in home country in 2002, then worldwide in 2003. When I ended up getting involved and seeing this for the first time, I thought it was absolutely amazing. Best crime movie of all time, in my opinion. Story was adapted from a 1997 novel of the same name, written by a guy named Paulo Lins. The plot is loosely based on real events depicting growth of organized crime in the suburb of Rio de Janeiro, which is called the City of God, between the end of the 60s and the beginning of the 1980s, with the closure of the film depicting the war between the drug dealer Little Zay and the vigilante turned criminal knockout Ned, who is played by Sue George, who did all the Portuguese David Bowie songs in The Life of Steve Zissou, The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou, the Bill Murray movie that I covered on the show here once before. The tagline is, if you run, the beast catches you. If you stay, the beast eats you. So all of these kids basically become gang members. It's crazy what happens in this movie. It was filmed in what they call a favela, which was right outside the City of God. The City of God was too dangerous, but the favela was dangerous as well. The director said later on, if I had knew how dangerous it was, I probably would not have filmed there. The cast included a whole bunch of people that were local to the area, not a whole lot of actual actors themselves. It received worldwide critical acclaim, and it was nominated for 4 Academy Awards in 2004. It was submitted for Best Foreign Language Film for 2003, but it didn't make it. But it was when it was re-released and got worldwide, it was nominated for Best Cinematography, Best Director, Best Film Editing, and Best Writing. And it was Brazil's entry again for Academy Award for Best Foreign Language Film, but was not nominated as one of the 5 finalists, surprisingly, because it is amazing. It is got a very high rating on Rotten Tomatoes as well as IMDb. On IMDb, it's got an 8.6 out of 10. It's R. It's a hard R, too. 2 hours and 10 minutes. It follows, in the slums of Rio, 2 kids, their paths diverge. One struggles to become a photographer, the other a kingpin. And boy, does he succeed. It's pretty awesome. Great, great movie. It's a little violent. There's a couple of scenes that are heart-wrenching. You just want to look away. It's that disturbing. A couple of things that happen in the film. But it is great, and it's also a good story about perseverance, a good story about getting out of something that you are stuck in, and just persevering. It's got a great soundtrack too. James Brown, Sue George, Kung Fu Fighting in the background as well. There's a little more James Brown for you in the background. And everybody's great. The amateur actors recruited by the filmmakers from the slums, the favelas in Rio de Janeiro. And a couple of them, the guy that plays Rocket, actually lived in the City of God himself. It's pretty fun. They have all kinds of crazy names too. You got Chicken Manuel, you got Steak and Fries. They all got kind of gang names, but Brazilian, you know, Portuguese gang names. There's a guy in it named Melonhead, Clipper, Knockout Ned, Carrot, Chaggy, Little Dice, who becomes Little Z, and Benny, who's the handsome kid, the kid that everybody loves, that's one of the drug kingpins. And it's really, really cool. It starts out with like three criminals in the 60s and it shows what happened to them. And then Little Zay is formed from hanging around with them as a kid and becomes buddies with Benny. And then with Carrot, they all end up running this City of God. They run all the drugs and they steal from the poor and steal from the rich and give to the poor. So they're stealing propane and giving back to the community in there, and the community watch out for them. It's pretty wild, but like I said, it's got some tough things to watch. So if you got a night where you're in for a crime movie, you haven't seen this one yet, check it out. City of God, considered number 20 on IMDb of the top 250 movies. You like Pulp Fiction, you like Goodfellas, you like American History X, Seven, Silence of the Lambs, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Memento, Usual Suspects, Fight Club, you like this. Its budget was $3 million. Worldwide, it ended up making $32 million. Again, my favorite crime movie. 10 out of 10 for Chris Earle. City of God here today. Watch this. It's flick number 4. We're going to finish with the James Brown song off the soundtrack of City of God. And then we'll go into flick number 5, which is Tomorrowland. But I like hot pants. Hey, I like hot pants.
Lots of ways to show you have style. Wearing fur isn't one of them. Each year, millions of animals are drowned or beaten to death in the wild, or gassed or electrocuted in captivity for their coats. Cruelty is one fashion statement we can do without. Please help the animals by joining People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
To find out how you can help, visit furisdead.com or call 757-622-PETA.
When I touched this pen,
I saw
this place.
Someplace amazing.
And it felt like anything was possible. And then it was gone.
What do you want?
I want you to take me to the place I saw when I touched this.
Where'd you get that?
I know that you were there.
Who are you, kid?
They followed you here?
Who?
John Francis Walker! You are now harboring a fugitive element. Release her to our custody. You have 1 minute to comply.
Don't thank me yet.
Ah!
seen nothing yet. To see Tomorrowland. Here it comes.
There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, and tomorrow's just a dream away. Man has a dream, and that's the start. He follows his dream with mind and heart. When it becomes a reality, it's a dream come true for you and me. So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
the Black Keys from Tomorrowland. Tomorrowland is from 2015. It was a Disney movie. I absolutely love this movie. It didn't do that great in the movie theater. They promoted it a lot, Disney, but it didn't resonate with a lot of people. Not really sure why. Maybe it's more of an adult movie than a kid's movie, but I absolutely loved it. Tomorrowland, I'll tell you a little bit more about it in a moment. I'm going to play a couple more clips here.
Go now. Thanks for your help.
$1,000 if you tell me where you acquired the pin.
I don't know.
$10,000.
Was it a girl? A little girl?
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Have a nice day. Enjoy your freak out.
Tell us where she is and you will be spared.
This is a joke, right?
Where's the girl?
I don't know.
About the girl.
I don't know any girl. I told you, I don't.
Where is the girl?
I don't know any girl!
We have to go. Come on, now. This is a time bomb stop sign, but not for long.
What?
Listen to me. The sphere's collapsing and you're in the line of fire. We need to go or you will die.
So bound by a shared destiny, a teen that's bursting with scientific curiosity and a former boy genius that looks a lot like George Clooney embark on a mission to unearth the secrets of a place somewhere in time and space that exists in their collective memory, and it's a place called Tomorrowland. When I first heard that they were making the movie, I'm like, yeah, Disney's just doing it for the park, big advertisement for the park, but it's a great action movie, great adventure movie. I thought it was a pretty good family movie, too. It's only got a 6.4 out of 10, which is okay on IMDb. Not great, but okay. You can find it on Amazon Prime. It's out there. I got it on the DVD. I got it on the Blu-ray, actually. Director is Brad Bird, who did a lot of the Pixar movies. He did the Incredibles, of course, and he did Ratatouille, The Iron Giant. He's fantastic. He's great. And George Clooney, of course, is fantastic in it as Frank Walter. Hugh Laurie is in it. The guy from House, I believe, is Nix. He's the villain in it. Britt Robertson and Raffi Cassidy, I believe, is the name, is Athena, who is a scene stealer in every single one of the scenes that she's in. It's actually it's pretty good. She's got some great one-liners and just some very, very cool scenes. It's rated PG for sequences of sci-fi action, violence, and peril, as well as a little bit of language and thematic elements about time travel and the future and inventing. This isn't one I saw in the theater, but I wish I had, since it's really a very beautiful movie. It's got a lot of really cool visuals in it. It's got not only the CGI, but it's also got some really beautiful cinematography in it. So the idea of Tomorrowland is based on Walt Disney's original plan for a city of the future, which was the original concept for Epcot, which Epcot stands for Experimental Prototype City of Tomorrow, Epcot, which I absolutely loved when I first went to Disney back in the early 80s. I believe it was around 85 when I was in Disney for the first time. It would have been a centrally located city showcasing new technology developed at a nearby industrial park. and there would have been circular outer suburb accessible by the monorail for the employees and a dedicated airport. Original plan for a city of the future, an actual city of the future by Walt Disney. It was conceived back in the 50s and 60s and showcased what the future would hold for the world. It was and still is Disney's top draw at the theme park, and of course Space Mountain is within Tomorrowland. As well as It's a Small World, I believe, is in Tomorrowland as well. They actually use it in the movie. They use a couple little Disney things in the movie, and they actually shot at Disneyland in California a couple of scenes for the movie. When in a little trivia for you, when Governor Nix uses his watch, there's a little green hidden Mickey Mouse on the watch face if you look for it. A poster for Tomorrowland appeared in the final scene of Monsters Incorporated in 2001, and 14 years later, they ended up making the movie. George Clooney, his character, 16 years older than he is. And Britt Robertson's character is 7 years younger than she is in the movie. It takes components of Tomorrowland themes found in the Disney parks. Weapons used in the film resemble the blasters that Buzz Lightyear used. And trains in the movie are reminiscent of the People Mover that's found in Disneyland, which runs through the Tomorrowland section of the park. It's really a fun movie. You should check it out. I'm going to leave you with a little bit of hope, just like Tomorrowland gives us. It's a very positive movie, very inspirational movie. I thought it was a hell of a lot of fun. Check it out if you get a chance. And it's a good family movie to watch with kids. If you got some kids, I think they would like it. The widely overlooked and wonderful Tomorrowland, I gave it a 10 on IMDb. I got to rewatch it. I never got to rewatch it this week before the show. But I'm going to rewatch it and we'll see if my 10 stands. But I absolutely adored it. It was 2 hours and 10 minutes, rated PG from Disney, Tomorrowland, here on Watch This. It's the fifth of my 5 flicks today. And I'm going to leave you with It's a Small World here. Thanks for listening to WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. I'll be back next week from 5 until 9 p.m. as we do the Battle for Christmas. Myself and Derek Gary and 7 celebrity judges will be deciding which of us have the best 10 Christmas music, Christmas songs or sketches or whatever that you most likely have not heard before. Thanks again for listening to Freeform Station, WMFO Medford. My name's Chris Earle. Have a good night and have a good weekend, everybody. See you next week. couple minutes here. Let me tell you about the top 10 over the weekend. Do a see it, watch it, skip it for you. Green Book came in at number 10. It made $3.9 million in its third week. It's a biography comedy drama about a working-class Italian-American bouncer who becomes the driver of an African-American classical pianist on tour of venues through the 1960s American South. It's got an 8.3 out of 10 on IMDb. Stars Viggo Mortensen, it looks like. Yeah. Viggo Mortensen and then Mahershala Ali, the guy that was in Moonlight. Hope I'm pronouncing his name right. I don't really give a damn if I'm not, but I hope I am. Yeah, I guess hoping I don't give a damn or complete opposite. So, yeah, I think I'm pronouncing his name right. Mahershala Ali and Viggo Mortensen. Because it's got such a high rating, I'm going to go rent it on this. I'm not paying good money to go see Green Book. Sorry, guys. Widows. Skip it. It's got a 7.4. Thought about renting it, but chances are I'm not going to. It's about a bunch of guys that are stars in their own rights. They all die. They're probably in it for about 5 minutes, and then the women go out and avenge them. So it's typical 2018 movie. Not interested. I'm going to skip it. That's the number 9. Number 8 is Robin Hood. Not interested. There's never been a good Robin Hood movie, in my opinion. I could care less. Number 7, The Possession of Hannah Grace. It's been out for a week. It's got a 5.2. It's a horror mystery movie. Skip it. I'm going skipping on all these. Save a little money this week. Oh, no, I went and rented it for Green Book. Save up a dollar to rent Green Book one day. Instant Family, not interested. Mark Wahlberg, don't care. Skip it. Bohemian Rhapsody, I think I'm going to see it later tonight. I love how Queen has transcended and it's multi-generational now. But there were people that I know that were around with me and they hated Queen. And now they like Queen. Bunch of posers, bunch of asses. I was always with Queen. I'm going to see it. I'll go see it when everybody else has seen it. Is out of the theater, and I'm going to sneak in maybe later tonight and watch it alone. But I'm looking forward to Bohemian Rhapsody. Fantastic Beasts is a rent it for me. I don't think I'm going to see that one in the theater, although I'm sure there's some kind of elephant-looking rhino or something that I'd enjoy on the big screen. Creed 2, I actually saw this, and it's a rent it, unfortunately, everybody. I thought it was going to be so much better than it was because I loved the first Creed, but it was boring. So yeah, it's a rent it for me for that. The Grinch comes in at number 2. I'm not interested in any way to see The Grinch unless I'm drunk and passed out on the Christmas couch and somebody pops this in next year at Christmas time. The only way I'm going to see it. Ralph Breaks the Internet, I'll probably go see. It's probably a rental for me, though. I hate Sarah Silverman. For some reason, over the years, I just dislike her more and more. So just her being in the movie annoys me. So Ralph Breaks the Internet is a rent it for me. But it's the number 1 of the week. It's been out for 2 weeks. Got a gross of $119.1 million. Big Picture's coming up next, everybody. Thanks for listening to WMFO in Medford. Once again, let's watch this with Chris Earle every Wednesday from 5 to 7 p.m. Next week is the Christmas battle between myself and Derek Gary. Tune in. It's great. It only happens once a year, and you will love it and hear a bunch of Christmas music that you've never heard before. WMFO in Medford.